Today on The Journey.
Worship is an active demonstration of our love for God by responding to His person, to His work in our lives, and to His word.
What one gift can you present to God that will gladden and delight His heart? On today's broadcast, Ron Moore tells you and shares how to give that gift with passion. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron Moore's life-changing digital devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. More Than Words is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have the details later this half hour. Now here's Ron with the message, Understanding Worship on The Journey.
We are going to begin what I've titled The Great Adventure, Worshiping God. It's not the greatest adventure as if it were one of many adventures we do. It is the great adventure of our life. It's what we were created to do. God created us to experience Him in every aspect of our life. And so we want to make certain that we get out of the box. My purpose today is very, very simple. What I want to do is put before us a working definition of worship. And I say working definition because we're going to spend some time going through and studying about worship. And so we may tweak this definition a little bit. We may change some words here or there. But the thrust of the definition will not change. So here it is, a working definition. Worship is an active demonstration of my love for God by appropriately responding to His person, to His work, and to His word. Worship is not just some event. It's not something I do. It's not something I experience every now and then. Worship is an active demonstration all the time that I am in love with the Creator of the universe. And I'm responding to all I know about His person, to all I see in what He does, and to all I read in His Word. We may say it another way. Worship is celebrating all God is with all I am and all I have. Now let's go back to this definition, and let's begin by trying to understand what it means to actively demonstrate our love for God. And here's the first thing I want to stress. Worship is something I give. It's an active demonstration of my love. Worship is not something I receive. I worship God. Worship is not something I can get from someone else. No one can make me worship. Nor can anyone keep me from worshiping. Worshiping flows from my innermost being out. Worship is something I give. Now, again, I want to stress that worship is more than just what we do on Sunday morning, but let me give you an example. If someone says to you, I got nothing from the worship service. Now, if you tell me that, my response is, and? Your point is what? Your point is you don't understand worship. Because you don't come to get something from the worship service. You can't. Worship means to give. See, when you say, I worship God, what's the subject? I. What's the object? God. Worship is something you give. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul, what is our spiritual act of worship? Well, it is presenting your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, in view of God's mercy. Now, if you're a student of Scripture, you know when you're reading the Bible and you see the word therefore, you always ask the question, what? what is it there for, right? And it means what is going to be said is based on what has already been said. I've said all this, therefore, I'm going to say this. Well, what's the therefore here? Well, therefore, in chapter 12, verse 1 of Romans, is all of chapters 1 through 11. Through those first 11 chapters, Paul has been telling us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He has told us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. He's told us, but God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has explained that whole process of God's mercy. He's told us that we have the Holy Spirit now. If we're Christians, and we didn't receive a Spirit that takes us to fear again, but a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that allows us to go before the eternal God and cry out, Abba, Father. And that Spirit causes us to testify in our hearts that we are truly children of God. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in light of that, based on that, now you do something. You worship God. You give to Him. You offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now here Paul is referring back to what his readers would know of the Old Testament sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they would take an animal, whatever that animal would be, particularly the burnt offerings, and they would slaughter the animal, and they would lay the body of that animal, the life of that animal, on the altar. And it would be burned up. It would be totally consumed. So Paul is saying, think about that Old Testament sacrifice, that burnt offering, where it is consumed. And now in the same way, you present yourself to God. Not burning your bodies literally, but you give yourself to God. Totally. Just like you would lay that animal on an altar and it'd be totally consumed. Now you place yourself figuratively on the altar so that your whole life is given, is consumed by God Himself. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Worship is something you give. My body. My body is the vehicle of everything I do, all my expressions. And I place it on the altar, not once a week, not once a month, not just Christmas and Easter, but I place it on the altar every day. This, Paul says, is your spiritual act of worship. Every day, place yourself on God's altar, in essence saying, God, I am yours today. Use me however you want. I worship you. I give you all my love. I give you all my praise. I give you everything I do today. I set myself apart to you, holy. I want to please you today. This is my spiritual act of worship every day. Now, someone has said, the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. And we know that's true, isn't it? We crawl off the altar often. We forget. We sin. We're selfish. We want to worship ourselves. We want to do what we want to do. And so we have to go through the process of confession, putting ourselves back on the altar, figuratively speaking, giving ourselves back to God, every aspect of our life. So worship is something I give to God. All of myself, I give to God. Worship. It's an active demonstration of my love for God. Now let's think about what it means to actively demonstrate love for God, because that's a nice statement, and we can say it, and we all would know what it means. What does that mean, to actively demonstrate our love for God? Well, the second thing I want us to stress today is this. Worship is actively demonstrating through my attitudes, my actions, my thoughts, my words, that God is worthy of all my love. All of me. Through my attitudes. Through what I do. Through what I think. Through what I say. God, through every aspect of my being, I present everything to you. You are worthy of my love. I want to actively demonstrate that every part of my life. The word worship, you know, means to ascribe worth to something. There are really two words in Scripture that are used for worship. And one word means to bow down before. It means to fall prostrate before. And many times when you read this word, the person who is worshiping will literally have their face to the ground, because it is an act of humility. Whatever you are bowing before, you are demonstrating that you are respecting and honoring, and you are humbled before this person. The other word used often in Scripture of worship is the word serve. Because if you really love someone, then you're going to serve that person. If you really respect someone, God, you're going to serve Him. You're going to let every aspect of your life be a demonstration of your love for Him. I'm going to show in every area that God is the love of my life. Let's look at another passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So it begins with knowing who God is, the truth of God. So, because the Lord our God, the Lord is one, then love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Love the Lord your God. Remember when Christ was asked, what's the greatest commandment? This is the one He said. This is it. This defines worship. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now, a lot of times when we look at that passage, a lot of people will take the words heart and soul and kind of define those separately. I'm not for sure that's what it means. I don't think that's what it means. I think they are using the words heart and soul to drive home the point that this is all of you, all of your being. In the depth of your inmost being, you are to love the Lord your God. That's what worship is. It's who you are. Every aspect of your life. Loving the Lord your God. Wholehearted worship. Now that impacts our attitude. Impacts our perspective of things. Sometimes our worship will lead us to great joy. Sometimes there will be something that happens in our life and we will respond in spontaneous worship. David does that all the time in the Psalms. Here's one, Psalm 18. For the director of worship of David, the servant of God, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said in response to that, I love you, Lord, my strength. I love the Lord. He's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call on the Lord. He is worthy of my praise. I'm saved from my enemies. And sometimes in a spontaneous way, God brings something into our life. And in our attitude, it's just spontaneously we worship God. It's tremendous. And we would say, why wouldn't we love God in this sense? But worship also happens when things don't turn out so great. The book of Job, verse 1. Job has lost all his land. He's lost all his children, all his grandchildren. They've been put to death by the sword. Tragedy in an unimaginable way has hit his home and his life. And in Job chapter 1, when Job heard this, Job got up and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and then he fell to the ground in worship. And you know Job wasn't saying, okay, everybody, let's get our hands together. We're going to worship God. I just lost everything. No. He tore his robe. He falls to the ground. But he still worships God. And he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." It's easy to worship God when something turns out well, isn't it? But when we worship God wholeheartedly, we worship Him when things don't turn out so well. Attitude. It's our attitude. It's our life. Worship is actively demonstrated through our actions. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Worship must be actively demonstrated through our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. We worship God with our thoughts. We worship God through our words, what we say. No throwaway comments. We don't say things and then take them back. Proverbs says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Colossians chapter 4, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let the words of your mouth, the psalmist says, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. But let's just put worship down to its bottom line. You can sing all the songs you want to, but if your tongue is sharp and piercing, if your words don't honor God all the time, then we have a lot of work to do, don't we? In understanding what worship is. So worship means I demonstrate my love for God through my attitude, my actions, my thoughts, my words. One more thing here. Worship is my personal response to God's person, to His work, and to His word. My personal response to all God is, my personal response to all He does, and my personal response to all He says. So in worship, first of all, I respond to the never-changing person of God. You see, if I worship anything else, it's always going to change. If I worship my job, I may lose it. Worship people, they let you down. From A.W. Tozer, listen to what he says. His book, The Knowledge of the Holy, if you haven't read this, I encourage you to do so. The Knowledge of the Holy. Tozer begins his book on page 1 by saying this: what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to be moved toward our mental image of God. This is true not only of individual Christians, but of the company of Christians that compose the church. Were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to the question, what comes to your mind when you think about God, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. And so when we worship, we're responding to an accurate picture of the person of God. Psalm 89 says, O Lord Almighty, who is like You, O God? You're mighty, O Lord, and Your faithfulness surrounds You. Person of God. Secondly, our worship, we do it, we give it to God in response to His work. Sometimes it is His creative work. As we look at something in nature that is magnificent, and we look at that and it just moves us to worship. We can't help but worship. And so for you, it may be a sunset, maybe a sunrise, maybe the ocean, something in nature, the creative work of God. Psalm 111 says, "Greater the works of God, they are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are His deeds, and His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The work of God, but not only the majestic creation of God forming the mountains, but His work every day in your life. How did God work in your life today? Because He's working, we're just missing it. And things that we thought were trivial and just kind of happened, circumstances, happenstance, when we think back on it and we pray about it and we meditate on it, we say, God, You did that. So we respond to God and His work. And finally, we worship in response to His Word. That's why we've got to be in the Word of God. It's a familiar passage, Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. When we read it, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so when we read the Word of God, we have to respond to it. We have to respond sometimes in confession, because there before us, in black and white, that living and active Word of God looks us square in the eye and says, what you said was way off base. What you did was wrong. Part of worship is confession. Certainly in praise, we read through the Psalms and we think of all that God has done. We praise Him sometimes in awe, thinking about the eternal God would love us so much, but God demonstrated His love for us in this while we were still sinners, while we had our backs turned on Him, while we didn't care for Him. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. Worship is an active demonstration of our love for God by responding to His person, to His work in our lives, and to His Word. Worship is about all of our life. Every day, all the time, every minute.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. Have you ever happened upon an old familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your other family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. There, in 30 daily meditations, he compares Scripture with Scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. A digital download of More Than Words is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an important upcoming event.
I'm here with the Associate Pastor of the Bible Chapel, Dave DiDonato, and we want to let you know about an exciting series that we're going to be teaching together this summer. It's called Relevant Faith, and it will run for 6 weeks, beginning the weekend of August 10th and 11th at the Bible Chapel. We're going to address some of the most important issues facing our culture today. Dave, what's the motivation behind this series, and why is it so important?
Well, Generation Z includes those in the age bracket roughly around 8 to 24 years old, and they are growing up today in what many consider the first post-Christian generation of our country. That means that more than 50% of this generation is unchurch. They are living in a world that is trying to completely redefine what truth is. And we believe it's the church's responsibility to prepare this next generation for the culture they are living in today.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us in person for our Relevant Faith summer series at one of our campuses. Visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org for more information. And for those living outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join us through our online campus that streams our services every Sunday from our website, our app, and our Facebook page. So join us this summer. as we declare that following Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it's ever been. We look forward to seeing you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And please remember to get your copy of Ron's online devotional, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.